We in this bitch, man. Lights on, cameras on, real nigga in this bitch. You see the sign, it's lit, man. That means the show is recording. Look, man, you know why the fuck I'm here. I know why the fuck you here, man. We've been through this plenty of times. But goddamn, it's a very special episode. Not because I'm special, you know that already. It's special, ladies and gentlemen, because it's episode 2, motherfucking 100. We have reached our goal. And we are live!
Welcome to Raw is
OG!
Hatch, man, you know the fuck it is, man. Don't play on me, man.
DJ! Hit me! Damn, 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 damn. Fuck it up.
Fuck it up. Fuck it up. Fuck it up. I like that, cha-cha.
I like the cha-cha. Yeah, sir. What's poppin' with y'all? Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of the Thin Line Between Genius and Insanity podcast, hosted by yours truly. Oh, gee. No, spin that fucking block, man. Look, man, just so I can paint the picture behind the scenes, man, I got some fucking lamb chops in the slow cooker going crazy right now.
Wow.
I am high as fuck right now.
Wow.
The shit I've been through in the last 24 hours, oh my God.
Wow.
I say that to say, man, I am very, very, very happy to be in the motherfucking studio today. This is the last episode of Phase 2. And the last episode of Phase 2 at this particular moment of the podcast, we have to spin the block for them hating ass things in the back. Them fuck niggas in the back. Them bad bitches in the front. Oh, how you doing, girl? I see the ass. I see the titties. Wowzers.
Wow.
Spin the block and always let them motherfuckers know your boy has always been.
For the bitches, nigga. For the bitches, nigga. For the bitches, nigga. For the bitches, nigga. Bitches, nigga.
Flyest, highest, coolest, smoothest host of them all. Oh, gee. Hatch, who the fuck it is, man? What's up with y'all? Hope about that looking good, feeling good, staying safe. There's a whole lot of shit going on transplantation each and every episode. So shout out to everybody around the world that's tapped and joined the conversation, man. I truly appreciate all the love and support, man. Let's keep building empire brick by motherfucking me brick. Look, man. Episode 2 fucking 100, man.
Wow.
Hey, look, I'm going to be real with y'all niggas, man. This is like take 10. This is a very, very hard episode to do, man, just because... You know, this moment is a very big moment when you talk about the audio journey of this podcast. And you know, there's been moments where I felt conflicted because, you know, last season in phase one, when we got to episode 100, I had this big thought process, this whole shit planned. I wanted to bring people on to the show, and it was cool the people I decided to bring onto the show. Who was like four guests, three of the four guests I grew up with. They knew me personally when I wasn't shit. Another one was my boy CEO, The Source, you know, so I met him along the journey of this podcast shit. Pretty much started around the same time, and we kind of built a little bond through that. And it was an absolute failure. And that really fucked with me for a long time. More into reason why I didn't fucking upload, the reason why I did anything until I got my fucking technology and equipment up to par to where I just felt comfortable enough to fucking get back in front of you guys and provide you guys content. But for the people who's been tapped in throughout phase two, man, phase two has been such a fucking journey. Phase two has been the fucking evolution of Hatch. Phase two has also been the moment in time to where there's been crucial, serious shit happening in my life that has altered my mental, that has taken me for a fucking roller coaster. You guys have been there every step of the way because I truly feel like in phase two, I fucking found my bag and I've let you guys in on a lot of shit, bro. And I honestly feel like for the people who listen to this episode, for the people who really gonna connect with this episode, for the people who been along this audio journey with me. This may not be the episode for the first time listener. I'm gonna be real with you. If you're a first time listener and you just like that real shit, then yeah, this the one for you. But if you're a first time listener looking for the laughs and giggles, I don't know. I don't know about that one. Not for what the shit I'm finna talk about right now. You know, this episode, I'm not bringing nobody on. And to be quite honest, if you've been peeping game, I ain't brought nobody on all of phase two.
Wow.
This season was about us. This season was about us, me and y'all. All the friends of the show and fuck, this was about us, man. Phase one, I got mine fucked. Phase one, I started trying to play the game. No, phase two, this was all about us. This season was about everybody that fucking accepted me for who the fuck I really was. I'm a fuck up. I fuck up all the time. I fucked up yesterday, nigga. Nigga, I fucked a bitch last night. I had no business fucking.
Wow. Like,
I knew for a fact that I just had no business. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but look. I fuck up all the time, man. And I wore them fuck-ups on my sleeve this season. Ups and downs. Numbers went up. Numbers went down. But the real stayed. You know, throughout all the bullshit, we got shit on the docket. This is on the docket as well. I know the intro is probably a little bit all over the place, but we're going to get to it. You know, as I sit back and I reflect on phase two, man, I gotta be real with y'all, man. And we're going to get into some fun, the next shit next. As I reflect on phase two, man, as somebody who struggles with mental health, you know, mood swings, depression, I'm an isolated motherfucker. I'm 28 years old. And for the first time throughout phase two, for the first time in my life, bro, I can honestly sit here and tell y'all that this is the first time in my life where I truly start to like myself.
Wow.
I remember a few years ago going, not even a few, like last year, you know what I'm saying, around that last 18 months type shit, right before I started phase two. I remember telling my therapist, like, yo, man, I gotta be real with you, man. I'm not even my own biggest fan. Like, I don't really look at myself in the mirror and be like, that's a dope ass nigga. I don't sit back at all the shit I've done and be like, oh shit, that's cool. I don't view myself the way others view me. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us are like that. None of us truly look at ourselves the way other people look at us. But then I have to think about how other people truly view me. When people think about how they looked at me in high school, my nigga, we have two whole different recollections of what the fuck Hatch was in high school. When we go back at night and people talk about how they view me now, I got niggas out here trying to fucking use my name to get pussy and shit. Like,
wow.
I had to realize just exactly who the fuck I was. And it's not about the accomplishments. It's not about the things I've done. It's not about the things I've seen. Throughout phase two, man, I've truly been able to tap in with that inner child, bro. I had to grow up a lot faster than a lot of niggas. I had to grow up a lot faster than a lot of these niggas, man. And I didn't resent my mom for that. I didn't resent none of that shit. But what I was angered that a lot of that shit was taken away from me. And I never felt like I truly had control of my motherfucking life.
Wow.
Of course, we all go through the parenting phases where, you know, you're a child and your parents got control over you and shit like that. When I fucking graduated from high school, bro, 2 weeks later, nigga, I had to move to a whole new state, a whole new coast. You know what I'm saying? After that, nigga, just working, working, working. My social life was pretty much gone, but I'm still fucking doing my thing. But I'm just not living the life that I always wanted to live. I've always was doing something for somebody else. I always was fucking trying to make sure motherfuckers view me in a certain way. I told y'all, the only reason why I fucking went to college and graduated college is to fucking prove to myself that I can do some shit, but also counterintuitively to fucking show my little brother it can be done. Because I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have a motherfucker showing me shit. So all my life, man, I'm just trying to make sure my mom won't be embarrassed of me. My little brother can see a fucking good fucking positive role model. It was never about truly what the fuck Hatch wanted to do. And throughout phase two, man, in my life, I just been doing shit that I want to do. I ain't been doing shit that made nobody happy. I've been talking about the shit I want to talk about. I've only been letting things into my life that I allow. That's what the fuck been going on in my life. And God damn it, I've been loving it.
Wow.
I've been fucking loving it. And that's why it's so emotional as we get to this last episode. You know what I mean? To know that this shit has come to an end. because this has been one of the most happiest times of my life. Yes, it's been rocky these last few months, you know what I'm saying, with the whole hate crime shit, with the whole, you know what I'm saying, the weird shit going on in my personal life. This has been one of the happiest moments of my life, man. I've reached so many people, and so many people has reached me throughout this medium, man, that I just never would have thought it would happen to me. You know what I mean? I never would have thought that I would be a person that can be in this seat, in this position, and reach these people, man. Like, it is, I get emotional about the shit, you know what I'm saying, just because, my nigga, I remember, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move on, man. You know, I remember in my last apartment, right? When I moved to my first apartment on my own. And as you see in the background, I got these pictures up and shit like that, right? All these movie posters. You know, in my first apartment by myself, and I told you, I'm a person that deal with mental illness, depression and mood swings and shit like that, right? You know, I was in a situation to where in my house, there was nothing hanging up. Yeah, I probably like, what the fuck's so weird about that? There was literally nothing hanging up, man. It was just white walls. I'm a dude. I'm a single dude. I'm a bachelor type shit. So I was living was, I wasn't even in my living room. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't really having like that. So all my shit was in my fucking bedroom. There was literally nothing in my living room. There was like my couches and shit, but there was no TV. I never was in my living room. Anytime I was at home, I was literally in my fucking bedroom, playing a game, watching Netflix, living all my life just in the back half of my fucking apartment. And dog, I don't understand how lonely that shit felt, dog. I was a prisoner in my own fucking home, dog.
Wow.
I was a prisoner in our own fucking home. My thoughts, dog, my thoughts was fucking bouncing off my head, off the walls. Just, I'm in that motherfucker talking to myself. I'm in that motherfucker going crazy, dog. Like, my mom's and shit having to come through. Like, son, you got to get out the fucking house. Son, you got to hang some pictures up in this motherfucker. All you seeing is white walls all day. Look it up, Peach. That's a real fucking thing. When you see niggas in those mental institutes and shit, way be in fucking white rooms, cuz. And I'm not trying to say I was fucking off the rocker like that. But what I'm saying is that I was a prisoner in my own place. I was doing things and I didn't even know that I was boxing myself in. I'm already an isolated motherfucker. So now motherfuckers come to my crib, nigga. Everything's all over the place. I got shit in the living room, in the room. I'm in the living room now. Fuck that. Because I know what it's like. If a motherfucker came to my house right now, you go in my room, nigga, it's a bed in that motherfucker. I do not want to be in that motherfucker. Because, nigga, for years, I used to trap myself in my bedroom, dog. I used to trap myself. Cause I didn't know what the fuck I wanted in life. I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do. All I knew was go to work, come home, pay bills. Go to work, come home, pay bills. And I was losing it type shit. So that's why when I say, nigga, in phase two, dog, I found who the fuck I was, man. As a man standing on his own two feet, dog, I found who the fuck I was, cuz. Like, I found that shit, dog. And y'all don't, that's why I say y'all never understand. When I come on every episode and I thank the people, dog, I'm thanking y'all because, nigga, y'all have saved me, dog. As much as y'all hate me and tell me what I do for y'all, nigga, trust and believe. Y'all don't know what y'all did for me. And phase two, to know for the people who tapped in on this journey, man, look, man, I love y'all. We're going to keep this shit rocking, and we're going to keep this shit moving the fuck on, man. Let's tap into another fucking topic, man, before I get in this motherfucker crying and shit. Before I get this motherfucker me crying and shit, man, as emotional as this shit is, this is a fucking celebration. How many niggas you know can sit here and tell you they put in 200 episodes straight of something they believe in? How many times you know a nigga did something and gave up on something they believed in? So for everybody that's been tapped into a nigga just talking about his dreams and what he believe in, man, I truly fucking love y'all, man. I truly motherfucking me do. I do want to move on, though. And I get into this YFN Lucci situation. You know, I've come on this platform time and time again and talked about the Young Thug case and the YSL trial, how much of a shit show it truly motherfucking is. all at the same time, we were made aware of the beef between YFN and Lucci and fucking Young Thug. To where all this shit is truly stemming from the beef between those two parties. Granted, this is all about a nigga that got killed back in the day, and that's the bodies that's been implemented in this. But to actually dictate and fucking provide proof that motherfucking YFN was a gang, they was trying to tie motherfucking me YFN Lucci's gang, who's also facing the fucking Rico at the same time, tie them into the motherfucking me beef. Reason being is why they tried to have YFN Lucci become testify in the fucking YSL Rico case. Now, one thing we've known all about this YSL Rico shit is that niggas been snitching. Gunna, all these niggas been fucking snitching. And at this point, I don't truly see a way that Young Thug can beat this motherfucking me case. I truly don't see it. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why in the hell didn't the YFN Lucci Rico and all that shit get the same type of publicity than Young Thug and YSL case? Granted, Young Thug is a much bigger artist, and it just wasn't Young Thug. It was Young Thug and Gunna. So it was two mainstream popping ass artists. As much of a success story that YFN Lucci can say that he has, he still was, quote unquote, what, an underground rapper for real? What, an underground rapper in 2023, 2024 is fucking still a fucking huge star. But we know the difference between a fucking mainstream and a fucking underground rapper. You wasn't gonna hear no fucking YFN Lucci songs on the radio at no point in time. And if you did, maybe it was his only hit song, whatever the fuck that may have been. But the thing about the YFN Lucci case that's so different than the YSL case, dog, I don't know if it just wasn't reported. Was there anybody fucking snitching in a YFN Lucci case?
Wow.
YFN Lucci just got fucking sentenced to 20 years, 10 years gonna be probation. They gave his ass time served. His ass gonna be home in 3.5 months, dog.
Wow.
It's the same shit. He was a driver. It's bodies that's fucking implemented. He was a driver in a fucking drive-by shooting. Niggas got hit. They dumped body on side of the road. They kept it pushing. They tied these niggas back to being gang members, all types of shit. What in the hell is the reason why his niggas kept it solid and fucking YSL niggas didn't? Because you just can't say gun at this time. Even the low-level niggas are snitching on Young Thug. Let me read this. It says, breaking, YFN Lucci will serve about 3.5 months in jail and then will be released and serve the rest of his sentence on probation. As part of his negotiated plea, YFN Lucci was sentenced for 10 years in prison, but after serving one-third of his sentence, he is eligible for parole. After getting credit for time served, he will be eligible for parole in 3.5 months. Prosecutors have already agreed to not fight his release, so his defense team is very confident he will be released early from prison.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Look, man, I'm not no nigga that's ever gonna come on no platform and talk about no street shit. What should happen in the streets? What's right or wrong in the streets? I am the nigga that tell you the streets is fucking stupid. That 95% of niggas that's in the streets is fucking retarded. I truly believe, I think 95%, I'm really leaning towards 97%, but 95% of the niggas that's in the streets is fucking stupid. I truly believe that. If you think I'm lying, look at every nigga that's ever that's in these cases. Look at the YSL case. You tell me these niggas ain't fucking retarded? You mean tell me you truly think Young Thug is just a smart nigga? That's what you finna tell me? The same nigga that knew he was fucking finna get his fucking house raided in still had fucking guns and drugs all over the motherfucking place.
Wow.
That same nigga, you know what? We ain't gonna get into that. We ain't even gonna get into that. But 95% of these niggas is fucking stupid, dog. And when I look at a nigga like fucking YFN Lucci, and I look at how solid, quote unquote, his niggas kept it, and you look at a nigga like Young Thug, and we know all his niggas basically told on him. Yeah, there's a few of them that's on the case still with him, but majority of these niggas told on him. His own brother took a plea deal, my nigga. You know you cooked when your own brother taking plea deals against your ass. Young Thug is done. Young Thug is cooked. Young Thug is in court every motherfucking me day, and this shit sound worse and worse. I don't even know what the fuck he paying his lawyers for the stupid shit that they saying. They ain't said one motherfucking me thing what's shit called? Plausible deniability or some shit. They ain't did nothing of that nature. They telling us Thug means truly humble under God. They telling us that motherfucking me, LeBron James wiping his nose saying slime is trying to get Young Thug off the motherfucking me hook.
Wow.
I think it's ironic. I think it's funny. I think it's the way that life works at times. When the same nigga that Young Thug was saying, allegedly, he don't do shit to me no more because I shy at his mommy. The same niggas y'all was barking and acting all tough with and doing all this tough guy shit with. Simultaneously, at the same motherfucking me time that you fighting the case, he's fighting the case. We heard about why. Remember we heard about Lucci getting stabbed up a few months ago type shit? Because of all this stupid shit? The same nigga that you got all this beef with, y'all both fighting cases. This nigga's about to be out of jail soon. Yo ass finna be in that motherfucker cooking like a motherfucking meat steak, nigga. That nigga Lucci finna come home and be on some Boosie shit, man. That nigga's stardom is about to fucking skyrocket, my nigga. Why? Because he kept it solid. He had a chance to snitch on his ops, and he didn't. He kept it more solid than any nigga we ever known. We all know fucking mob niggas to be snitching. We all know that. Before YFN Lucci, who was it? Bobby Shmurda, who took a little bit more time to get to Roddy. What's the nigga name? Roddy Rebel to come home a little bit earlier. You niggas love him for that shit. So what about the nigga that did that? That held it down, did his time, didn't fucking bite the cheese, held his motherfucking time down. You know what I'm saying? Got stabbed up in that motherfucker. His ops in that motherfucker now. He ain't. They coming to him trying to give him less time to snitch on his ops. He ain't snitching on the ops. He getting rewarded for to get let home soon. So how much love y'all finna get that nigga? Because out of all these niggas, he probably the nigga that kept it solid the most. The most. I think it's funny how the world works sometimes, man. I truly think it's funny how the world motherfucking me works. Because the thing about hip-hop praises the streets. Hip-hop worships the streets. You know you can go on porn, you can type in ass worship. You know you can go on porn, you can type in ass worship. You know what I'm saying? Or you can type in like BBC worship, and it's like the white girls going crazy on the dick. Like they be loving the dick. I love that shit. That's how hip-hop is with the streets. We praise, we worship, we glorify the streets. And the gangsters, nigga that's finna be back on the streets is YFN Lucci. Yeah, you can say he was just a driver, but nigga, at least he was on that mission. I remember nigga back in the day, nigga, when we hit the motherfucking meet the plug. I wasn't even in the right car, nigga. I was in the other car. We took three cars to a fucking lick. Why? We was just stupid.
Wow.
I just wanted to go. I just wanted to tag along for the lick, but you can't tell me I wasn't a part of the lick. You can never say that. I was in the fucking second getaway car. Niggas went to the plug house, hit the plug, hopped in one getaway car, met up with the other getaway car just to get away. Yeah, I was in the second getaway car. Nigga, yeah, I'm not getting caught there. You got the shit? Oh, let me see the shit. Oh, we got the shit.
Wow.
We got the shit. Real talk, man. I think YFN Lucci finna come home and be on some Boosie shit, bro. He finna get Reginae back. But how much you bet when YFN Lucci come back, he finna be on some, or Reginae finna be on some My Baby Back Home type shit? Come on, you know how these hoes work, man. You know how these hoes work. But I do want to say shout out to YFN Lucci, man. Look, I know what it's like, bro. I've been in that courtroom. I know what it's like when you stand across from that judge. Granted, I wasn't fighting no shit that Lucci was fighting. I ain't trying to compare the type of case, but I know what it's like to be across from that judge. And that judge can say whatever the fuck they want to say to you. You got to sit there with a straight face. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You got to do all that shit. You got to do all that shit. And I can only imagine what it's like for a nigga to be fighting straight time. And nigga getting stabbed up in the motherfucking meat, in the jails and shit. Yo, ops is in that motherfucker now. They present you shit that you can fight to get less time and shit to snitch on your ops. I can only imagine what that shit felt like. We can only imagine because the reason why I say it is because we know how easy it was for that nigga own boys to do that shit. For a nigga to have to snitch on his own ops. Nigga, I thought that's what ops was for. Like,
wow.
Nigga, I can't snitch on you? You my op and I can't snitch on you. You mean tell me I hate you with my guts. I hate you with my fucking guts. And I can't fucking tell on you? Oh, the streets is crazy.
Wow.
The streets is crazy. Let that nigga beef with me. Oh, my God. The police come like, well, you know what that sound like? That sound like that fuck nigga Ray Ray. I'm pretty sure Ray Ray has something to do with that shit. You got prints in the dirt. It's a size 14. Ray Ray Gibbons did that shit.
Wow.
I'm putting all my dirt on my ops, nigga. That's what the ops is for. You better not beef with me, nigga. Your name is going to come up in every motherfucking me investigation. That nigga Ray Ray did that shit, cuz. Oh, an old lady got robbed? Oh, Ray Ray did that shit. It's going to be Ray Ray, though. So shout out to that nigga YFN Lucci, man, because me personally, well, I think for the last 20 seconds, by me saying Ray Ray, yeah, I know what the fuck I would have did to Young Thug. His ass would have been in the fucking electric chair already fucking with a nigga like me. Real motherfucking me talk, man. Speaking of Atlanta rappers, though, let's think with this 21 Savage shit. You know, 21 Savage went on the Uncle Shay Shay podcast with Shannon Sharp. And ever since that Cat Williams interview, bro, I just think anything that Shannon Sharp does for the next couple of months on that platform going to be a fucking banger. He brought 21 Savage on there. 21 Savage is one of those very introspective new age rappers. Like, yeah, he talk about the same bullshit that y'all talk about. But anytime I've ever heard 21 Savage actually talking, going into details about his life and, you know what I'm saying, just shit, like just having a real conversation, I've always looked at him and said, damn, this nigga is pretty kind of motherfucker me. Smart. Not like on a little genius shit like y'all trying to hype all these niggas to be, but I can see myself being cool with 21. I can see myself smoking, chopping it up, you know what I'm saying, talking about all types of shit because he's one of those very introspective motherfuckers. I do want to play a clip to where 21 Savage was talking about the differences between broke parents and rich parents and saying which ones he thought was better. Let's go ahead and play that clip if we can.
I be feeling like I don't be doing all the way my job because of my job.
Right.
Type shit. Mm-hmm. So I be trying to like balance that out, like trying to like, it's like you work to receive, to gain all this success and all the good shit, but it's like, I feel like the best parents, in my opinion, is parents that don't got it all. I feel like broke parents are better than rich parents, mm-hmm. in my opinion, because when you broke, you got way more time type shit.
Right.
So you there for like a lot of the shit. Like, yeah, gifts and shit matter, but they don't matter at the same time.
Sometimes all a kid needs is time.
Facts.
Your time.
Facts.
Something that a gift can't replace.
Facts.
We see
that's real shit. That's real shit. I'm not saying whether or not that's right or wrong. Reason why I say that's real shit is because you can hear that man talking about, like he said, sometimes he don't feel like he always there for his kids because of his job. And I gotta be real with you, man. You know, I think in our community, we put a lot of fucking value into money, dog. And granted, I'm not trying to say you don't need money to fucking survive. You do. You absolutely fucking do. Nobody likes being broke. But you know what comes with being broke, dog? It's a certain type of anger that comes with being broke, dog. It's a certain type of you're just fed up with the world mentality that comes with being broke. And look, man, I was that nigga, man. Look, we didn't grow up in no fucking rich household, not even close to it, nigga. We lived in an apartment, nigga, all my fucking childhood. My mama was working, nigga, all my life. I know what it is. I know what it's like to live in a household where the moms is grinding her ass off, where the parents is just going hard, nigga, to keep a roof over the motherfucking kids' head. I know what that's like. And I also know what it's like to have them there and they not teach you shit.
Wow.
I know what it's like to have parents in the household and you don't receive no love, no attention, no guidance from them. I'm a nigga that been in, I had both that shit. I had all that shit growing up. I had all that shit growing up in one household. Niggas always be like, ask me why I don't be wanting kids or why I can't give it a woman who got kids type shit. As I age and I start to get older, I start to get, you know, further away from that. But the main reason why I couldn't get with a woman who had kids is because I was the nigga who my mom got with a nigga. She had already had me. He came in my life. He provided fucking nothing. He didn't take me. He didn't guide me nowhere. He wasn't a fucking positive role model. He wasn't shit. He didn't teach me shit about shit. That scarred me for life, nigga. So as 21 Savage can say, yeah, broke parents are better because they always there. Nigga, just because you there don't mean shit. I seen that nigga every motherfucking day, dog. I seen that nigga every motherfucking day. The only thing I salute that nigga about is getting me some fucking haircuts. That's it. That's it. We gotta fucking stop just dumbing shit down to materialistic things and just being there. It gotta be more than just that shit. Because that's all we ever fucking dumb parenting down to is fucking buying materialistic shit or fucking just being there every day so they can see them. Man, fuck seeing you every day. What are you teaching me about life? What's the game you giving me? Fuck the bullshit. Like, fuck that. That shit always drives me crazy when people just dumb down parenting to fucking buying gifts and giving money. And just fucking being at the house every motherfucking day. It ain't black and white, nigga. It's a whole motherfucking meat ocean of gray area right there, you stupid motherfuckers. Like, what the fuck, man? I think motherfuckers always just try to think about the opposite of their household. You know what I mean? Like, well, motherfuckers who grew up in a household to where they was financially struggling, didn't have shit, was always broke. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers who lived in that household always think that if I grew up in a wealthy household, if we had money coming in, and my moms and dads was having like that, then it'd be totally different. But the motherfucking kids who grew up in that household to where they was financially stable, or they did have a parent, you know what I'm saying, who was on child support or some shit, who was just paying the bill, who was just paying child support monthly and wasn't truly there, they'd trade all that shit in just to grow up with that fucking parent in the household. I know what it was like to be in both, nigga. My father was killed when I was 3 years old. My little brother wasn't born until I was 7 years old. His pops was there, nigga, from the time my little brother was around, nigga, until we moved away to fucking Arizona when I was 17 years old. So for 10 years, this nigga, my little brother pops was there every motherfucking day. Every day that nigga was there. Nigga didn't teach me shit, cuz. He had a job, my mama had a job. Yeah, nigga, looking back on it, nigga, money was tight, nigga, but growing up, nigga, I didn't think we was broke. I didn't think we was poor. I didn't think none of that shit. But that nigga was there every fucking day, dog. So I know what it's like to be in both those households at one motherfucking me time to where a motherfucker, financially motherfuckers is there. Or when motherfuckers is there every motherfucking me day and ain't shit being done right for that motherfucking me child. We gotta stop dumbing parents and down to that shit, bro. That's what gives motherfuckers easy outs to think that they parents of the year because they fucking there every day. And then motherfuckers wonder why they childs be growing up and not really having the fucking love for them that they thought that they child should have. And granted, man, it's kind of fucked up because like a 21 saying, like, You know what I'm saying? What comes with success is being on the grind and working all the time, and you're away from your kids. You want to work your art, you want to work your ass off and provide a lifestyle for your kids that you didn't have growing up. I think we all want that. We all know how we was raised and what we went through, and we always try to make it better for our next of life, our next of kin, our kids type shit, right? But just because you want to give your child a life that you didn't have growing up, it's not always about giving them the complete opposite of what the fuck you had growing up. And I think that's where a lot of people fuck up at, man. This is where a lot of people fuck up, man. It's not about giving them the opposite of what you had. It's about giving them the best versions of everything that you did have. Because I don't think it's a coincidence that every generation, if you look at, I'll speak for my family alone, my personal shit. My mom hated the way that she was raised by her mom. So she did everything in her power to make sure she raised us completely different. With my mom doing that, that still left an abundance of shit for me as her child to reflect on in my life that I don't want to implement in my life, implement my child's life when that time does come. There's so much shit that I don't even want to present around my own fucking child if I have one, because I hate the way shit was when I was a child. I'm saying all this to say, bro, it's not about doing the complete opposite, because no matter what the fuck you do, there's going to be an abundance of shit that's wrong that your child's not going to like. They're not going to love. So it's not about doing it, bro. It's about being both. It's about being there, bro. We can't just minimize this shit to just money and minimize this shit to gifts and minimize this shit to just, oh, you coming home and seeing your pops on the fucking in the love seat every day watching the game with a beer in his hand. Oh, it ain't a be your pops going to work every day, but he come home beating your fucking mama. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about just minimizing that shit to that, bro. It's so much shit that goes into that, bro. And as somebody who's, I don't know, man, maybe I just got a unique take on this shit. Maybe I got a unique POV with this shit, bro. As somebody whose parent was taken out of their life at a very young age and another man was implemented in my life, and he was just there, nigga. He was just there. And I always bring this up on the platform because I want all the my male friends of the show to dog. A lot of y'all be saying y'all pops wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? A lot of y'all be saying y'all pops wasn't there. But a lot of times y'all niggas pops would still be alive. And I'm not sitting here trying to do a whose trauma is more traumatic. No, it's not about that. A lot of y'all niggas don't understand what it's like to have a nigga come into your life and he give you no game, he give you nothing. And as a child, you're aware of that. It wasn't like this is some shit that came to my mind, nigga, as I got older in life. No. As a child, I was just like, this nigga ain't it. When I first met the nigga, I didn't like the nigga. I tolerated the nigga because of my mom's. And it makes me more mad to find out she was tolerating a nigga because she wanted to have a man in the household for us. We could have been got rid of this fuck nigga a long time ago. I make sure I say these things on this platform. So for every male listener of the motherfucking me show, dog, if you don't get yourself into a situation with a woman with kids, dog, it's very motherfucking important that you not only accept that this woman has kids, but you accept that the role that you have to play with them fucking kids, dog. It ain't just about being a nigga that's in there fucking the moms type shit. You know what I'm saying? You got you a place to stay type shit. Yeah, she got kids. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I ain't got her pregnant. We got kids type shit. No, bro. It's about motherfucking me. You got to step into that kid, them kids' life and fucking show them the ropes, nigga. You got to take them up under your motherfucking wing, nigga. You got to make sure, nigga, every gift to gab that you got from whoever the fuck you got it from, you give it to them. Because that's the new role that you planning they motherfucking me life. I'm not trying to have no fucking male listeners of the show be fuck niggas in their personal life. You fucking with that woman, she got kids, nigga, and you fucking her on some real shit. Like me personally, a woman with kids, dog, I don't even fucking go around them until I know some real shit. If I'm just fucking this shit, if I'm just fucking you, shorty, I don't need to be around your kids. I don't need to see your fucking kids. Ain't none of that. Oh, let me stop and get the little nigga some four-piece nugget. No, fuck that. I don't want to be around no more for me kids. It's not fuck your kids. It's never going to be that. But I'm not finna confuse that kid. I'm not finna fuck that kid head up. I don't even want that kid to even visualize that they mom's a hoe. Because I also know what that's like, being a fucking kid and seeing niggas around my mama. Not saying she was bringing multiple niggas around, but every nigga my mama brought home, I remember them niggas. And I know what it was like as a kid, dog. So, I don't know, man. I always get a little bit amped up when niggas be minimizing their parents and shit, dog. Because it's so much more that goes into that. Yeah, you can be at home, but if you ain't fucking giving that kid the fucking lessons of life. Like, I'm being real with y'all. The nigga, I never even got the birds and the bees talk from the nigga. My mama had to give me that shit, nigga. My mama had to be the one to tell me, yo, son, be careful of these white women. My mama had to do that. Not the fucking 40, not the fucking grown-ass African-American man that was in the fucking house with us. The black woman had to do that. Nigga, to talk about the birds and the bees, to talk about, you know, it's a thing called STDs out here, right? Any conversation about life, nigga, money, nigga, responsibilities in life, that didn't come from that, nigga. That came from the black woman, dog. Notice that everything I'm saying came from my mama had nothing to do about fucking money, whether she was broke or had money, because it's much, much more than that, dog. And like I said, and I get what 21 Savage is saying. I totally understand what he's saying. But it comes a certain point in time, we have to stop minimizing parenting to whether or not you have it or not. It ain't about that. It ain't a fucking about that. Do you love your kids or not? Do you know the proper ways to show your affection to your children? If you don't have fucking children. Because it's not that child's fault. I've seen it in my personal life, my cousins, all that shit, man. Parenting is much more than that. And look, I know a lot of y'all probably saying, nigga, you don't even have kids.
Wow.
You're right, I don't. But I was that child living in a traumatic situation. A toxic ass and a toxic, fucked up, bullshit situation that never truly had to be. Never had to fucking be. And that shit set me back in my personal life. There's been women time and time again that could have been the perfect one for me. But because I would look at them, then look down and see that fucking kid and think about what the fuck was done to me in my life, I don't even want to give myself the opportunity to make that same mistake. It's a detrimental motherfucking mistake, man. Truly motherfucking me is. But moving on. You know. You know, man, I've always been the guy, man, when it comes to like dating and shit like that. I've always like talked to like older chicks. And these last like couple of years, I can honestly say, bro, I've like taken a step back. Like I've started talking like chicks like either my age or like, you know, like 2-3 years younger than me. And I gotta be real with you, man. I'm done with that shit. I'm going back talking to older women, bro.
Wow.
Look, man, last night, bro, I'm gonna be real with all the friends of the show. I truly don't give a fuck. This is my audio journey. Last night, bro, I had this chick over to the crib, man. I gotta be real with y'all niggas, bro. Shorty was like, what, 22, 23 years old type shit? I'm 28. I ain't never talked to a chick who's like 6 years younger than me type shit. Like, that's a lot. That's like dramatic type shit. Like, bitch, we don't have shit in common. Shit you think is funny, I'm looking at you like, yeah. So swear to God. But like, Shorty's a very attractive woman. Like, Gretch, she's definitely not like my typical type. My typical type is, you know what I'm saying, ass and titties, something. Shorty was skinny as fuck. And I gotta be real with you, Shorty was skinny as fuck. But like I said, Shorty was very attractive. She kind of reminds me of someone from my past. I think that's kind of what sparked off this whole situation. But I'm not gonna take away from that. She is actually fucking a beautiful woman. No, motherfuckers came through, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers smoking, chilling, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to do something crazy, do things too crazy with women nowadays just because I recently was dating somebody and the shit kind of went left. And I'm really not even in the mindset of trying to date nobody. I'm stacking my money, grinding shit. I'm on some shit right now, you know what I'm saying? But Shorty came through, we chilling, you know what I'm saying? We chopping it up. Throughout the chop up, I'm kind of realizing that, you know what? This ain't some shit I'm really looking for type shit. As the night's going on, the night's progressing, she's doing subtle shit that I know. Like, as a man, you kind of know when Shorty's giving you hints that she kind of want to, like, suck some dick or, like, get fucked that night. So, like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, damn, like, in my mind, I'm like, bro, I really don't want to do this shit. Like, Shorty's already giving me vibes that she's a certain way. And I'm sitting here like, man, I don't even want to do this shit. I'm trying, like, not even pay attention to this shit. I'm composing myself. Like, dick's trying to get hard, but I'm sitting there like bad boy. No, don't do that. don't do that. I'm thinking about baseball all of a sudden. Like, I'm really not trying to do this with Shorty. But one of my main disappointments about myself is that I do become weak to the flesh. At a certain point in time, man, like, hey, I do nigga shit. I'm just being real. At a certain point, over a certain amount of time, I'm just going to end up doing some nigga shit, right? So as, you know what I'm saying, we get through more of the weird shit. Long story short, I end up smashing Shorty, right? And I can be honest with you, I never in my life has it ever been more, has the realization or the thought come faster in my mind. Like, nigga, you shouldn't have did that.
Wow.
It's never in my mind have I ever smashed a chick and nigga damn near immediately. Like, niggas always say, nigga, after I bust their nut, you know what I'm saying, I start thinking different. It never truly happens like that. Like, after we fuck, we still be cool type shit. It's like a 20-minute period window to where you still cool with Shorty. And after that, it's like, ah, fuck that bitch. It was literally after I smashed the second time.
Wow.
After I smashed the second time, I was just like, bro, why am I doing it? Like, I'm not even truly giving Shorty, like, everything I got in the bed. Like, I'm still knocking her shit loose. But I'm not giving her everything because I'm truly not even, like, into this. Like, right now, this is just, like, a pussy. Like, this is truly what it was. And I always said, bro, I hate those moments. I hate just fucking just to be fucking. And last night, for the first time in like the end of 2 years, I fucked just to fuck. And I know I fucked the chick that ain't no telling how this shit gonna go, bro. She might be one of them super annoying motherfuckers. I may have to go through some bullshit. Hopefully not. She know I got a show now. She may listen to this. I don't know. Shorty cool and all, but I shouldn't have did that shit. I shouldn't have did that shit, bro. And that's the thing I love about having this platform, man, is I can come in and get this shit on wax, and I can come in and get my thoughts off and get this shit off my chest. Because, dog, like, it eats me up inside knowing that as a grown-ass man, I can still be on some little boy shit. And granted, all niggas out there, yeah, we all love pussy. We all love doing that shit. We all love fucking. But it bothers me that at 28 years old, rapidly approaching 30, that if some pussy's in my face, if some pussy's on the platter, it's hard for me to turn it down. It's kind of crazy. Like, I really have to be like straight super turned off by the situation. And I was damn near like, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you asked me how, like last night in dealing with Shorty, how annoyed, how turned off I was kind of from the situation on the scale of 1 to 10, I got to be real with you. It was like a 7.5.
Wow.
And I still knocked Shorty down. Like, the only thing I'm really happy about myself and doing is that I did wear a condom. Because, like, on some real shit, this was like 5 years ago type shit. Not even 5 years ago. I've always been a safe sex nigga. But there was a phase in my life to where I wasn't using a condom. And it wasn't with random bitches. It was like with women who was in my life for like years type shit, who I've been dealing with for years. There was a moment in time I was just hitting it with no condoms. But I was so proud. At least I'm proud of myself to say, like, I used a condom with Shorty. Pulled out even with the condom on. Oh, I'm nothing in my hand even with the condom on, bitch. You was not getting nothing from me. Like, you, I would be damned. But it makes me mad that even still to this day, as we wrap up phase two, something I've been talked about, nigga, over these first 200 episodes of this platform, that it bothers me that I can still become weak in certain moments and not have the strength to just walk away from certain situations. You know, it's. I think that's more so the point I be wanting to highlight for everybody that be tapped in. I think it's important that we find the strength to just walk away from shit. Like, in that moment, I could have pushed Shorty up. She had already did like five things leading up to us fucking that just made me look at her like, yo, just put her out. But I've never been that nigga to like really put a bitch out. I've only put one chick out in my crib. Like, in my whole life, I've only put one chick out. She can do some straight wild shit. And most of the time, they never do no wild. They just do like some annoying shit. Like, you know when a chick get around you and she could like you a lot and y'all smoking, she's just talking. But the shit Shorty is saying is like some wild, immature shit. Like, even last night, Shorty told me how much she liked me. Bitch, what are you talking about? This is our first time linking up. We just started texting a few days ago. Granted, you saying you've been seeing me around and shit. Like, I ain't been seeing you like that. So you coming on strong, telling me how much you like me, how much you fuck with me and shit like that. But granted, I get that. I'm blaming on you being younger than me. I'm blaming on you, me being that fly ass nigga. I'm gonna blame it on this loud ass pack I got you smoking. I'm gonna blame it on all that. But after doing all that, man, after even going through with the shit, smashing her and shit, I ain't gonna lie, it set me back a little bit, but I ain't gonna lie to you, man. That ain't even something. Like, I think we all have had people in our lifetime that we regret having sex with for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? If it was an ugly motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? We all have those people we regret having sex with, and just, I don't know, man. Just, I don't know. This ain't gonna be nothing that linger on. This ain't no shit. Like, if I would have hit it now without no condom or something, this probably would have been a thought that lingered on type shit. This shit just super fresh. I'm bringing up on the pod, but I don't know, man. I'm removed from the lifestyle of fucking just the fuck. Now, don't get it twisted. Like, if I meet a chick and we vibing, I'm a fucker. Like, we vibing. I'm fucking with you. But I gotta, like, stop it. Like, I've been coming on the pod talking about, you know, at the fucking dispo, getting my shots up and shit. That ain't the life for me, dog. That just ain't the life for me. I've realized what type of nigga I am, man. I'm the type of nigga that won't shoot to be a certain way. And I can do everything I want to get shit that way. And once I get shit that way, I'm like, I don't really want this shit no more. I don't really want this shit no more. Like, nigga, I've been talking this shit for months. How, like, nigga, I'm just finna just like start just go crazy. I'm just like, any chick that, you know what I'm saying, she giving me some play, I'm just slide her my number. She gonna give me her number, and I'm just gonna do it like that. Bro, in doing that, that shit has become annoying, aggravating, all types of shit, bro. I be at the fucking dispo. I don't even remember half the chicks I done fucking hopped on. Like, if we texting and shit, like, man, we just texting. That number is getting further and further down in the threads list, bitch. It's a lot of numbers coming in. And that's not me talking about some, oh, I'm on some player shit. Nah, that's me saying, like, as much as the motherfucking niggas say they want to be a player, be on their player shit, bro, I think that shit just not for me, dog. I don't really find pleasure in just smashing bitches just to be smashing bitches. Like I told you, I got a VR headset.
Wow.
I have a VR headset, nigga. Have you seen Pinky's ass in VR, nigga? It's crazy. So I don't need to just be smashing bitches to be smashing bitches. Cause that's just, I more so feel bad. The bitch came to my crib. Like, it's a lot, man. Last night was just an L, dog. Like, it was just an L. Like, it ended with vagina, but it was an L, dog. Like, I don't know, man. I don't see anything building from now. I'll just leave that one at that, man. Real motherfucking me talk. I do want to move on, though. Switch topics completely and get into some basketball. You know, everybody knows I'm a Laker fan. We still trying to see what's going on with the Lakers. We finna make a move or not. I don't really know. Don't really care, to be honest with you. Ever since I've been working these multiple jobs, I really ain't been tapped in with sports that much. But I was able to come across the headlines of Doc Rivers being the new candidate to replace Adrian Griffin for the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks fired their head coach, Adrian Griffin, after they just hired him in July. The team is, 30-13. They have the second-best record in the East, as well as the second-best record in the entire NBA Association. And they fired their coach. Not only did they fire their coach, they're saying they're going to bring in Doc fucking Rivers. Look, man, I'll be real with you. I'm all for niggas getting paid, niggas getting jobs, niggas getting opportunities, especially when it comes into play and comes into it comes out the same way that it happens for white men. We've always complained about the recycling doors on these old white coaches. So I always like it when black men get that same privilege. But at the same time, I'm a results-based nigga. I'm a Laker fan, dog. Like, I don't know. Like anytime niggas be confused on how my stance on sports and how it's either one way or another way for me, I'm a Laker fan, dog. All I know is success. If you ain't successful, you gotta fucking go. And when you ain't successful, we label you as bum ass niggas. To me, Doc Rivers, in the realm of coaching, is a bum ass nigga. Look, man. I've talked about this time and time again. The 2008 Boston Celtics, they get fucking championed more than anybody else who's won in the last 20 years, dog. Doc Rivers been living on that one championship forever. Doc Rivers is known to be a failure as a coach. He failed with the Orlando Magic when he had fucking T-Mac and Grant Hill. He could have had fucking T-Mac, Grant Hill, and Tim Duncan, but he fucked that one up because he didn't let Tim Duncan family fly on the plane throughout the visit. He failed. He was failing in Boston before they was the only team in the league with a big three. And they only beat the Lakers because Andrew Bynum got hurt. Niggas always forget to leave that out. That our starting center was fucking hurt. Had to battle down there with fucking big ass Kendrick Perkins from Texas. And fucking big black ass motherfucking EKG. Vice Lord King, nigga. A fucking Spaniard had to deal with that shit. After that, failure. He goes off to the Clippers. He's the only fucking coach I ever seen get traded, my nigga. Never seen that before. I never seen a coach get traded. His ass got traded. He goes to the Clippers, nothing but fucking failures. He goes off to the fucking 76ers, nothing but fucking failure. He ruined Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons ain't been the same since, my nigga. Now you mean tell me he finna go to fucking Milwaukee? Think about all the niggas that this nigga has coached. Grant Hill, Tracy McGrady, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo, motherfucking me, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. All the niggas that they brought through that recycling door through the Clippers. Then you go over to fucking James Harden, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris. Now you finna go coach fucking Dame and Giannis Antetokounmpo? Look at how many fucking Hall of Famers I just named, bro. Look at how many Hall of Famers I just named. And you only got one measly ass championship to show for it. And y'all keep giving this nigga jobs. Look, I'm all for it, dog. Give a nigga a job. But stop acting like other niggas don't know how to coach. Where's Mark Jackson at? Where's the other niggas who know how to coach? Where's Rondo? What? Give me a new batch of niggas that's going to be coached. That's why I was happy when Adrian Griffin got the fucking coaching job. Because I was looking, I'm like, damn, all right, we got Darvin Ham. Fucking Adrian Griffin got the fucking Milwaukee Bucks job. I'm like, damn, all right, it just ain't fucking me, Monty Williams and Doc Rivers no more. We got a new wave of niggas who young, you know what I'm saying, can be on their coaching shit. I don't understand what the fuck is the Milwaukee Bucks are looking for when they fucking hire Doc Rivers at this point in time in the season, right before All-Star break. You niggas got the second best record in the league and y'all finna get rid of the coach to bring in another coach who got a whole new system, who ain't never coached anybody that's like a Dame or a Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Wow.
What sense does this shit make? At least let the nigga fucking fail in the postseason. Doc Rivers ain't finna come there and do shit that Adrian Griffin couldn't do. Sit on the motherfucking sidelines, win the regular season games because you got Antetokounmpo and fucking Damian Lillard. It's about what them niggas do in the postseason. It ain't what about Milwaukee do in a regular season, especially when them niggas got the second best record in the motherfucking league. Boston just better, nigga. It's interesting to say the least. I don't know what the fuck they expect to happen, what the fuck they expect to see. But once again, it's another case of Doc Rivers dirty macking. He did the same shit with fucking to get the job in Philly. They say he was the fucking mentor for Adrian Griffin behind the scenes. But all of a sudden, it's just coincidence. After they fire Adrian Griffin, they fucking finna, they trying to hire your ass. You dirty macking, my nigga. But I'm all for niggas getting opportunities, niggas getting $1 million checks. But at a certain point in time, this nigga done failed way too many times for you niggas to just keep giving bro a job and thinking niggas, that the franchise, the fans, is supposed to buy it thinking y'all fucking serious. Like, real talk, my nigga. Real shit, that nigga Doc Rivers, he got pictures on somebody, man. That nigga keep a motherfucking me job, don't he? That nigga keep a motherfucking me job, dog. But moving on, before we get the fuck up out of here, man. You know, I just came across this wild ass video on Twitter, right? I think I even reposted shit. It was about this inmate who was getting the shit beat at him by like six different niggas. Like, they throwing shit on, they throwing like water coolers, microwaves and shit at his face. He's literally knocked out on the ground. They throwing microwaves and shit at his face, stomping him in his face, all types of shit. I have seen other tweets and shit saying this was a schizophrenic inmate. I'm not sure if that's true or not. To be honest with you, you know, you always hear what motherfuckers say, they don't wish jail on their worst enemy. I never understood that. You know, if a nigga deserved to be in jail, man, put that nigga in the clink, dog. Like, shit, to me, you a different type of nigga. If you see somebody, like, knock the fuck out on the ground, and you still, like, walk up and start stomping that nigga in the face. I'm not talking about no UFC shit to where you fighting with a nigga, you hit him with a clean when he fall, and you start hammer fisting him. No, I'm talking about a nigga knock a nigga out and another nigga walk over there and start motherfucking me trying to get at. You a different type of nigga to see somebody knock the fuck out unconscious, fucked up on the ground, dying, and start picking up microwaves and water coolers and mop buckets and shit and hitting this nigga in the face with it. Now, granted, I don't know what that nigga did. Now, immediately when I seen the video, I immediately thought, what did this nigga do to make them niggas that mad? But then I had to think, ain't nothing a nigga could have did that made you niggas do that. To me, if a nigga's up, the nigga's, you know, up and breathing and shit like that, it's fair motherfucking be game. But when you get to the point to where it's 3 minutes of attacks, so this nigga's knocked out, and it's 3 minutes of attacks, so you just throwing microwaves at that nigga face. Have you ever seen a microwave hit a nigga in the face before?
Wow.
It don't look good, bro. I'm gonna be real with you. It don't look good, dog. They said a nigga in a coma and shit. I'm just more so questioning where the fuck was the guards at? Where was the COs at? This ain't no riot. This ain't none of that. This was four niggas beating a nigga. Where are the COs at? Look, man, just because niggas is in prison don't mean they shouldn't have, that their safety shouldn't be, you know what I'm saying, looked after. Y'all caught this shit on camera. You hear motherfuckers narrating the video and shit like that. Some COs narrating the video. Where the fuck was y'all in attendance when this shit was happening? When that man was getting beaten to fucking death. That shit looked like, man, I've been watching this shit called Baki, right? Like, I talked a lot of shit about you anime-loving niggas a few years ago. I've been watching this shit called Baki lately, and these niggas be fighting and shit. They be really, like, slicing niggas' throats and blood and shit be leaking. This shit look like an episode of Baki, dog. The niggas knocked out, bro, on the ground, and they're throwing microwaves at his fucking face.
Wow.
I'm not exaggerating, a fucking microwave. It's one thing to see a nigga getting stumped in the face repeatedly when he's knocked the fuck out, not even guarding his fucking face no more. What do you think the imagery is when you see a fucking microwave get fucking picked up to the highest a nigga can pick it up to and ferociously thrown down on a nigga's face? They threw bleach water on the nigga. It's all types of pine saw bleach in that motherfucker that's getting into this nigga cuts. This nigga's fucked up down there. I don't know, man. They say they don't wish jail on their worst enemies. Jail seems like the perfect place for a lot of these niggas, dog. Fuck that. I'm not that forgiving. I'm not one of these fake-ass street niggas who talking about they don't wish jail on their ops and all that. Man, fuck that. Jail is there for a reason, dog. It's some niggas that just don't deserve to breathe the same air that we breathing. And these niggas who just attacked that dude in that video, look, I don't know what that nigga did to make them niggas that mad. But unless they was getting some get back for a racist motherfucker who was a serial killer or touching kids or some shit, unless it was some shit like that, and even still, I'd be looking at them niggas a little bit like they crazy. It's just certain shit you just don't want to see. I ain't never seen a nigga get beat with a fucking microwave. A microwave? Man, please. Niggas better do their research on how much the microwaves be weighing. Microwaves be like 20 pounds, cuz. Like, if you get like a new up-to-date microwave, that bitch be like 35, 40 pounds. Imagine nigga throwing a 40-pound dumbbell at a nigga's face over and over again. Oh, my. That nigga lucky he just in a coma, dog. I wish for speedy recovery, but god damn. What you think that nigga life finna be like after you had a fucking microwave beating your fucking face over and over again? Get well soon, nigga. God damn. Real motherfucking me talk. But I think that's all we motherfucking me got, man. Episode 2, motherfucking me 100, man. We talked about 21 Savage. We talked about me fucking with no more younger chicks. Talked about Doc Rivers. We talked about Wi-Fi and Lucci. We talked about the journey to episode 2, motherfucking me 100. Talked about a lot of motherfucking me shit, man. But with that being said, DJ, drop that fire ass beat, my boy. Episode 200, man. Thin line between genius and insanity, hosted by yours truly, O to the motherfucking G. It's a great episode, man. It's been a great fucking season. You know I give it up, man. It's all love these ways. Never let them sidetrack you with the bullshit. Always keep the main thing. Stay safe, stay sharp, stay sane. And holla at y'all when I holla at y'all, man. Peace. We're gonna cut the music a little bit short, man. I want to get this off my chest real fast, man. I want to say thank you once again to everybody that tapped into the motherfucking me show. Everybody that's been along this audio journey. Everybody's been tapped in since day fucking me one. Everyone has been truly entrenched into phase two. I want to say thank you, man. You know, as much as I wanted to hurry up and get to this day and get phase two over with, today when I woke up, you know, I took off both the jobs today, man. Today was truly just a moment for me to reflect on everything that transpired throughout this crazy ass year. I just want to say thank you, man. This has been a fantastic and magnificent journey. It's had its ups and downs. It's been a truly a roller coaster, but I wouldn't replace it for anything in the world, man. Just because this is ours, man. Like this is y'all's. This is mine. This is everything that we've gone through over these years, man. I just want to say thank you for allowing me to continue doing the thing that I've truly loved doing. That's coming here and giving you guys great fucking content. Man, every time I turn these lights on, turn these fucking soundboards on, turn these laptops on, turn these tablets on. Every time I do this shit, man, I truly never know what each episode is going to bring. I got a docket. I know the shit I want to talk about, but I truly never know, man, until I press record and I listen back to it and I just hear what we created. It just blows my mind every motherfucking me time, man, to know that we've reached a point to where, you know, we got to 200 episodes, man. It just, man, it's mind blowing, man. I love y'all. I thank y'all. It may be a little minute, you know what I'm saying, till we get another episode out. You know what I'm saying? Give me a month, give me two, maybe even three. Just give me a little bit of time to, you know what I'm saying, take a little mental break, you know what I'm saying, get some upgrades and shit done, you know what I'm saying, on the technical side of things, and make sure I can present phase three, season three to y'all in a better way. You know, so I'm not sure if season three, phase three, however you want to say it, going to be 100 episodes. I don't know if it's still going to be the two episodes per week. I don't fucking know. But as we get closer and closer to the return date, return episode dropping, I will be updating you guys with much more information as time goes on to let you know how the show will continue to run. For now, it's a see you later. It's never a goodbye because I will be back. We will be fucking back. But episode 200, man, thin line between genius and fucking insanity. Who would have fucking thunk it, right? Who would have fucking thunk it, man? We'd have reached the countries we've reached, the people we've reached. You know, I have people walking to me into the dispensary, and they telling me how, you know, they tapped into the show and they love it, and it's a great fucking show. Those are the moments I live for, man. Those are the fucking moments, and it wouldn't happen without you guys. So, without getting super emotional, I'm pretty sure when I listen to this shit back, I'll be able to, you know, indicate the moments where I was fucking damn near about to start crying and shit. But in all seriousness, man, I love y'all. We're 200 episodes into a fantastic motherfucking audio journey. This shit don't stop for a motherfucking me soul, man. I love y'all. I always love y'all. And I holler at y'all when I fucking holler at y'all, man. Peace.
Welcome to
OG!
Hatch, man, you know the fuck that nigga playing with me, man.
You dig! Damn, it feel good to say that shit one last time. My fucking people, man. My fucking people. Thin line between fucking genius and insane. You bitch, you!